Grace and peace to the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the second reading from Revelation 21, this beautiful picture of the New Jerusalem, heaven. We pray, Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit on your church today. Teach us and guide us and lead us into the paths of righteousness, your holy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the best city? You're not saying Knoxville? Well, some would say their favorite city, best city, is like New York or Paris, London, some huge, huge city where there's lots to do, lots of history. Others would say their best favorite city is a smaller city, maybe like Knoxville. It is a great city. Or maybe St. Louis. It's bigger than Knoxville, but not as big as New York, is it? Or how about Indianapolis? That's where I'm from. As we say in Indianapolis, we have apple in our middle name. So New York has nothing on us. And then others of you would say maybe a small town is your favorite little town or city. Powell or Halls or Seymour or Maryville or wherever, a little quaint little town you like. You don't like the big city. I pray that we would all say our favorite city, the best city, and there's no argument, no comparison, is the New Jerusalem. I'm not talking about a Jerusalem overseas in Israel, but the New Jerusalem, which is heaven. And John has a vision of that wonderful city in our text. Whenever we're going to move to a city, and we are all going to move to that city, we who believe and are baptized through the blood of Jesus, we will move to that city, and by faith we're already there. There are some questions that we ask about a city. And I want to ask four things about the New Jerusalem as we talk about it as a city that we live in. Our future city we will live in forever and ever and we'll love every moment. Nothing bad about the city at all. First of all, when you move to a city, you ask the question, what are we going to do there? What are they doing in that city? They have a sports team. They have a university like Tennessee. Football, basketball. Do they have culture? Museums? Theater, they have a zoo, they got good restaurants, that's always an important question. Places to go, a downtown, we got a great downtown here, I think it's getting even better, isn't it? What do you do there? Well, what do we do in the New Jerusalem? Well, what we do in the New Jerusalem is we celebrate. We celebrate and celebrate and celebrate and celebrate and feast and feast and feast and feast and praise and praise and praise and praise and worship and worship and celebrate and feast and praise. That's what we do forever in the New Jerusalem. And it's never ending. Notice as John describes the New Jerusalem, the city coming down, he describes it as a bride, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So we have the picture of the church, that's us, in the city. And we're the bride. And who's the bridegroom? Jesus. And heaven is like our wedding, or better yet, our reception. We're married to him even now by faith in our baptism. We are his, and we love it, and we enjoy it. We are his, and he loves us and forgives us. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. We have it all by faith. But in heaven, we are together. There's the reception, and it never ends. The feast, the celebration, praising, worshiping, singing, feasting, on and on, forever and ever. That's heaven. Endless joy. Never stopped. We all know when you go to a wedding reception, about 11 or 12 o'clock, you're kind of tired. Time to go home. Got to work tomorrow. Or often on Saturday, going to church tomorrow for even a better reception, huh? Hear the big news at Big Mac? Big news at McDonald's? I just filled you in on that. Hear it, Pat? Big news. McDonald's is going to try out a Grand Mac. I follow these things. Maybe you don't. They're going to have a Grand Mac, like a double Big Mac, and then maybe a Mac Junior, a smaller Big Mac. But guess what? It's still just a hamburger. World's always trying something new to excite us, something new to draw us. God doesn't have to excite us in heaven. It's already wonderful and exciting. He doesn't have to come up with something new every 5 years. I'll come up with something new all the time. Notice what he says, everything is new all the time. I'm making all things new, and it's new all the time. It never ages and never wears out. We never get tired of it. It's new every day, every moment. It's always new. God doesn't need these gimmicks and tricks. He gives us Jesus and forgiveness and love and has the new city for us. And we'll feast on the finest of wines, the best of meats. That's what awaits God's children. A second question we ask of a city is, how safe is it? What's the crime rate? And notice three things said about the New Jerusalem. Notice, first of all, that there is no sea. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. Always interested me. Why does it say that? Well, the sea in the Bible often is a symbol of chaos. The sea's a symbol of evil, of mystery. It floods you. We have floods in our world now. It overwhelms you. That's the sea. Monsters are in it, like the great whale that swallowed Jonah. Scary to go out in the sea. Wind and waves and storms. Evil, monsters, chaos. And so perhaps what it means is there's no more sea. There's no more of any of that in the city of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. No more evil, no monsters, no chaos, no wind and waves, total peace. Also, where it said the first adjective of the New Jerusalem is holy. It is the holy city. And I hope you know what holy means. Holy means perfect, pure. It is the perfect, pure city. We are perfect, pure people there. Not only in our actions where we love each other, but our thoughts, our words, our desires of our heart. We are perfect and pure in every way, holy in every way. And how we love each other and love each other and enjoy the love of God. It's perfect love to the utmost. Who wants to go to the New Jerusalem? Say amen. Amen. Yes. And then notice the great words of our text, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. So no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. Perfect. No crime rate. Totally safe. Keep your doors open there. No drive-by shootings. No jail. No drugs. Won't need policemen there, although policemen are a great gift here, aren't they? Perfect. A third question we ask of a city we're going to go to is, what's the population? How many people live there? And certainly elsewhere in last Sunday's reading from Revelation, we read where there's a great multitude, not just a few people, but a great multitude, no doubt millions and billions from Old Testament, now New Testament. And they're from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, of every tribe and language and people. So that's all of us, Jews and Gentiles. We're all there in perfect love. We're all getting along finally in the love of God and perfect love. But notice the text. This text zeroes in on one person that's there, the one we all long to see. And that is God. And I heard a voice, a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. Above all, we're with God. If I don't pay attention to you in heaven, it's because I'm looking at God. So forgive me in advance. The dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. Now, we are with God now by faith. It's not like God behind the stars somewhere and he's far away. The Lord is right here. We say the Lord be with you, not the Lord be close to you, but with you right here. He's with us as we receive him in faith. He's with us in his word, in baptism, in Holy Communion. He's with us. But he's invisible. We all know that. We don't see him in all his glory. He hides himself so we can be with him. And that's wonderful. We have faith and forgiveness. We have assurance that he's with us and loves us. But he's invisible. We don't have him by experience, really. Just by faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But when we're in heaven, we see him face to face in all his glory. The Bible says that some of the angels hide their faces from Jesus. We won't hide our faces. We get to see him face to face. We're the children of God. We're the bride. We get to see him face to face. And I told the kids in confirmation, you know, the sun's 93 million miles away. 93 million miles away. Yet on a sunny day like today, it's hard to look at it without sunglasses. And it's 93 million miles away, yet the brightness of it, the glory of it. And God made that thing. So our God is a million times brighter than the sun. And we're not going to be 93 million miles away from Him with sunglasses on. We'll be right face to face with Him. It's called the beatific vision, the vision that we just can't get enough of. We can look at Him forever, beholding Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see where they're going to change the face on the $20 bill? And that's fine. From Andrew Jackson to Harriet Tubman. But guess what? It's still a $20 bill. You don't get any more money out of it. But oh, how rich we are when we behold the face of God. We're rich even now as we hear of Him and learn of Him and see Him with the eyes of faith. But oh, the riches of the gold streets and the pearly gates to behold the face of God. And finally, when we move to a city, we ask the question, what's it cost? What are the taxes like? One reason we're like Tennessee, there's kind of low taxes, huh? Tennessee and Knoxville. And of course, we know the New Jerusalem. It's going to be absolutely, positively, 100% free. No bills, no taxes. But as I've said before, even though it's free, it's not cheap. To be in this city, to move there, costs the blood of God's Son. There's only one way to the city. There's many roads that lead to Knoxville. But there's one road, one way into the heavenly city, and that's Jesus. And that's His blood on the cross and His glorious resurrection. He is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father. No one goes to the New Jerusalem except through Jesus. So believe in Him. Follow Him. Be baptized in His name. Hear His word. Come to His table and commune. Christ is the way. Hold on to Him. Garfield was pretty good the other day. I like to look at Garfield. It's kind of at my academic level, I guess you'd say. And in the first caption, he's looking at some ants walking along. The second caption, he smiles and says, "Ants." Like, what are you going to eat, the ants, Garfield? You're that hungry? The third caption, he smiles as he's following him, saying, "I sure hope they lead to a picnic." Cute. What do we follow that leads us to the feast? Not a picnic. That's not good enough. The feast of heaven. God's given us little things, folks. It's His holy word, which in the world is a little thing. But the word of God that is preached and taught, this leads us. This teaches us of Jesus. Gives us faith. Gives us a little bit of water called baptism. The absolution. Words from the pastor. Your sins are forgiven. These are the little things God uses to keep us in the faith. To lead us to the feast in heaven. And then Holy Communion, the body and blood of Christ. Little bread, little wine, but the body and blood of Christ Himself right here. May we follow these things, make use of these things, and be in the New Jerusalem. One last time. Who wants to go to the New Jerusalem? Say amen. 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 He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And He rises to prepare a place for you and I in the New Jerusalem. Amen. Let's stand and confess our faith. The words of the Apostles' Creed.